Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's lovely to be with you this morning. It is a Good Friday, after all, is it not? My name is Mike. We are actually my beautiful wife in front here. We're from Azeventein. It's just lovely to be actually in a hub together. I see there's many congregations from many different places, and it's so cool just to be together for one common purpose this morning, for one common purpose. And it's a beautiful thing. I've left with the, just, you know, I think Luke just came up to me now and he said, feels like we needed to just shift from something this morning. From there's there is the wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb, and then there's also this tenderness and there's this weightiness behind what this day represents. And I actually think for us this morning, it's a sober, sober reminder of the extent at which the Father would go, I'm sending my one and only Son. That without him, we would be lost. Without him, we'd be lost. And so I want to open by reading a scripture for us, and then I'm going to pray for us. It says Colossians 1, 12 to 19. I'm reading from the NSV, you can follow. And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. We've just sung that, to his glory. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And, you know, just so I was prepping for this morning, about a week ago, I just felt the Lord. I asked him, I said, Lord, what do you want from this time? You know, I think there's obviously the main message of the cross and that you went to the cross for us. And that's the significance of today and what we celebrate. And in a way, it's a sobering. There's a sobering element to it. And I asked him and he said, you know what? Just share about my Son. Just share about my Son. And so this morning, Father, if we can just close our eyes. This morning, Father, I want to ask, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, would reveal to us the glory. Reveal to us the glory of your one and only Son, Lord. I'm reminded as you cried out from heaven and you said, this is my Son, my beloved Son, the one with whom I am well pleased. The one whom with I am well pleased. And so, Lord, I do ask that you reveal to us, that you open our eyes, Lord, to just who it is that we celebrate this morning. To just who it is that laid his life down for us. That we would be truly, truly able to just grasp somewhat of the cost, somewhat of the sacrifice that was made for everyone in this room. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord, and we say, have your way in this place today, God, that your name would be lifted on high. We love you, Lord. Love you, King Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And so this morning, in light of that, I want to share on the glory of the one and only Son. The glory of the one and only Son. And can I just say from the outset, I think, thank you, Luke, for explaining the entirety of the gospel to us there in his leading. You're a blessing, bro. I was saying to Stas on the way, if you could be as good a paddle player as you were a leader, I think you would win. love you, bro. You're a gift to us. But I was explaining, I was just saying that this morning it's all about the one and only Son. The one and only Son. And there's a part in the scripture where I actually want to, in John 1:14, it says, we have seen, and it's the second part of it, it's a well-known scripture, but it's the second part that I'm going to hone in on this morning. It says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen. And this, you know, in line with the title, you know, if you've lived in Cape Town for any length of time, you would have come across that hotel, the one and only. And so out of my curiosity, I jumped on Google and I just said, oh, what's going on here? What is this place about, you know? Because it shares the same title as what I was going to share on today. And I jumped on, one of the first things that pops up is like an Easter newsletter or a promotion. And interestingly enough, it read this, and you know, I'm not saying that there's anything against the one and only. If you've stayed there, wonderful. I would love to stay there. I think, you know, for me, there's the way my bank account's set up, it's already Friday, and to shift funds across and things, it takes 3 working days. And so, it's, you know, by that stage, I've missed it. And so, but one of the things that came up, it says, to celebrate Easter in Cape Town, take your loved ones for a fun-filled Easter getaway. You know, full of eggs and full of bunnies and treasure hunts and family activities. And then the last line, it says, where family adventures take center stage. And it's like something dropped in my heart. Because it's you know, this thing of like that family adventures. And hear me, I'm not saying the family adventures are wrong. I love family adventures. I look forward to more adventures. But there is something of that, it taking center stage. And I think for us here this morning, the will of the Father would actually be that His one and only Son takes center stage. And I want to trust God that actually in our hearts, in the way that we see Him this morning, there would be something of the glory of His one and only Son that would take root in our hearts. Is that okay? Okay. And so it's the Father's desire this morning. And I know that we share that same desire, that He would take center stage. And so we say, you know, the glory of the one and only Son. Okay, Mike, but what does it mean? What does it mean, you know, that it's the glory of the one and only Son? And it's amazing. Luke comes up to me this morning, and he was prepping a preach on the side, and he says, yes, you know what? I was actually so blown away as I looked at John 1, where it speaks about, you know, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And He was God. The Word was God. And why I'm emphasizing this word was is that actually the was is somewhat an indicator to us that for an allotted time, He was with the Father. He was there. He wasn't even part of the creation. But for an allotted time, He took on the form of a man. He came down to us. And so the Word of Son became, I'm sorry, the Son of God, the Word, became flesh. And it's important for us to realize. And so the glory of the one and only Son is that though He took on human flesh, it says that He did not cease to be fully God. And I think that needs to drop into our hearts this morning. It's like sometimes there's the realization of, you know, oh, I can see God for who He is, but, you know, it was Jesus the man, that came down. No. This was fully God, who was with the Father. And for allotted time, He says, I'm going to become flesh. I'm going to become flesh. I'm going to become flesh, but I will not cease to be fully God. And so the beautiful thing about this is He continues to carry on the will of the Father. That's the glory, is that He does not cease to be God. He carries on doing the will of the Father. And it says, even though He was in the form of man, it says that He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that says it was actually in accordance with the Father's will. In accordance with the Father's will. And we need to get this into us. It's a being found. That's Philippians 2:8. I don't know if you put it up. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we recognize this morning that He also came from the Father. We read it earlier, you know, and I think somewhere in it for us is like there's this thing of, you know, the Father, well, He stayed in heaven, and well, the Son, He's the one that came down to earth, and we separate the two. And it feels like God was to just direct our attention again and says, no, I'm in all things.
I'm in all things. And it says there in Colossians 1:19, where it said that actually the fullness of the Father was pleased to dwell within the Son. And as I was prepping, it was this incredible moment as I saw something of the Father's love to say, I'm pleased to dwell with my Son. And the incredible thing for us as we recognize that He came from the Father is that the Son then comes and He says, I will take on human form and I will live amongst you. I will make my home amongst you and I will dwell amongst you. And so the Father dwells in the Son and the Son comes and He dwells in us and amongst us. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And I want to take a step further this morning as I was prepping. I was just like dropped in my heart. You know, what did God said that when He left, that He'd never leave us nor forsake us, but it's better that He goes because He says, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And He says, then, to be my image on earth, I want everyone, all of you, the parts of the body, to be joined together to become a dwelling place for my Spirit. And so the Father's in the Son. And the Son is dwelling amongst us. When He goes, He leaves us His Spirit. And His Spirit dwells within us. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. And so this morning, we need to recognize that it was the Son that came. But it was the Father's will. It was the Father's will. And for us to grasp the significance of the cross, we need to understand that His desire for us, His desire for us, the way that He came to dwell, that He now dwells in us by the Spirit, that He came to dwell in the Son, and the Son came to dwell here with us, was actually out of a place of wanting to be reconciled to us, to be in communion with us, to be in union with His Son and His Son with us. And that's a beautiful picture, you know, because I think sometimes we separate the two. And this is what I'm saying, is that we need to, it's like the Lord needs to give us eyes to see the glory of His Son. That actually we cannot separate the two. This is God in us and the Father in the Son. Is this okay? And so He could have come as the judge and the executioner. And it's good for us to realize this. One day, He will judge. He will judge. He could have come as the judge and executioner, but it says that He comes with grace and with truth. And that's the message to you and I today, is that He comes full of grace and full of truth. And it says in Ephesians 1:7-9, that it's in Him we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. It's undeserving. It's unmerited favor of the Lord. This is undeserving. There's nothing that we could have done to deserve this. It's undeserving. It's unmerited favor towards us. And it's because of God's grace that He lavished upon us. And I want to look briefly, because Easter Sunday, because it's Good Friday, I'd love us to look briefly at just the account of Barabbas. Because I think it's actually one of the most incredible examples for us. It's actually mentioned in all four Gospels. And if you look across most of those Gospels, it's relaying the same message. And so if we can put up there quickly, Luke 23:13-18. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, you brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. He's speaking about Jesus. Inciting means to stir up rebellion. I've examined him in your presence, and I have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. But the whole crowd shouted, away with this man, release Barabbas to us. Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city. There was an uprising, there was a rebellion, and in that rebellion, they said he was called a robber and a murderer. That was Barabbas. And why am I mentioning that to you today? It's because I actually think that Barabbas, for us, is one of the most incredible examples, because he, in this way, represents all of us sitting here. All of us sitting here. That we, he would have heard the commotions outside, the release to us. And he probably didn't even hear his name. He probably would have heard the jingling of the keys and the opening of the jail doors. He would have heard all that. Not knowing that actually he wasn't to be the one crucified. That another would take his place. And for us to come to the point that we realize that actually in this story, Barabbas represents you and me. He represents you and me. He said he was innocent. He did nothing to deserve death. Do you realize that Jesus, the Son of God, he did nothing to deserve death. We did everything. We did everything. Because of our sin, it was him that was nailed to the cross on our behalf. And Isaiah 53:6 speaks about this. It says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray, turned to our own ways. And the Lord has taken the iniquity of us and he's laid it on him. He's taken the iniquity of us and he's laid it on him. Allow that to take root in you this morning. There's something in us that I don't think fully understands the weightiness of the sacrifice that was paid. That the iniquity, the sin, the everything that we've, the lives we lived up until the point that we came to know Christ, that was taken. It was placed on him and it was nailed to the cross. Do we recognize it this morning? We need to recognize that this morning. And not only that, you know, it says that salvation first comes to the Jews and then it comes to the Gentiles. In Ephesians, and we don't have to put it up now, Ephesians 2, I think it is, where it speaks about, at once we were far off, separated from the love of Christ, but now brought near by the blood of his Son. We were brought near by the blood of his Son. So I don't know how many Jews we have here this morning, but I'm guessing the entirety of this place, or most of, would be Gentiles. And to recognize that actually we have been grafted in, the Lord comes and he goes, that dividing wall, boom, I'm bringing it down. And he says, I'm going to nail to the cross the hostility between you. And say, through the Son, I will reconcile all men. God creating for himself one new man from the two. Through the Son, I will reconcile all men unto myself. So I want to ask us again this morning. Do you see the glory that John saw of the one and only Son, the one who comes from the Father, who is full of grace and full of truth? Do you see him? Do you see him? And the truth is this, that actually, firstly, unto himself, because he's God, he needed to remain true. So where there's sin, there needs to be atonement. Where there's sin, there needs to be sacrifice. And so the motivation of the Father is this. He says, for God so loved the world. You know, it's interesting. Often we think about Jesus, the one who came and he was full of love. It's true, because the Father was in him. But it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The message was one of love. The motivation was one of love. The message was one of reconciliation. It's a beautiful thing. And it says, he was true to himself. But then also, it is who he is. He says, there is no way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the message he carries. There is no way to the Father except through me, except through the Son. And so do we see this morning the glory? Do we see the glory of the one and only Son? The fact that he came from heaven. He was with the Father in the beginning. He was the Word. And he came and made his dwelling among us. He did not cease to be fully God. He comes from the Father. And the Father's fullness is pleased to dwell within him. As he dwells here with us. and that he is full of grace. He did not come to judge, but he came to be judged. He came to be the sacrifice. He came to be the one that would take the place for us, for you, for me. That he, like Barabbas, would take the rightful place. That he would be nailed to the cross on our behalf. And that you and I would be able to go free. That is the message of the gospel. And the truth is, to truly be able to accept that, to truly be able to accept what he's done for us, we need to realize this morning that he is the way, that he is the truth, and that he is the life. And there is no other way to the Father. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Except through Jesus. Now, I don't want to go long this morning. I want to just give a little bit of a testimony. You know, we, myself and my wife, we were, by God's grace, were saved on the same day. We came to know Jesus on the same day. And you know, what was incredible was the fact that we'd been in and out of church. I'd grown up in church. I'd seen church things, the way that it was structured. What happened behind the scenes even. Some of you were even there. Past youth leaders here, thank you. But there was it was an incredible moment, you know, where I sat there and the youth led the start of it. They led everything from the welcoming at the door to the announcements, to the worship, to the leading of the meeting, and to the preach. It was nothing that we had seen before. But in a moment, it's like the weight of the glory of his son hit us. Sitting in the back seat, closest to the door, ready to get out of there as quickly as I could. The Lord says, no, I've got other plans. And by his mercy, we came to an understanding of who he is and what he had done for us. And it felt as though the Holy Spirit came and he gripped our hearts. He ripped open our chest and gripped our hearts. And we were never the same. We came to an understanding and we saw the glory of the one and only Son. We saw that he had come from the Father. And we saw his grace extended to us in our time of need. And we responded to that. And I want to ask us this morning, have you responded to the one and only Son? Have you responded to the grace that's being extended through the gift of his Son? Have you responded? So I recognize, you know, that my eyes were open to the glory, but there needed to be a recognition of truth. And the truth was that actually I desire to inherit eternal life. I desire to be with the Lord, to inherit everything that he has for me. But it needed to come to the place where I actually accepted his Son, that I accepted the sacrifice that he made. I recognized that actually it's him that was perfect, that came, that was the Word that became flesh. He lived amongst us. He was born of the Spirit. He lived a perfect life for my example. And then he died on my behalf to set me free of sin. And there was a recognition of that. There was a repentance. God, I'm not like you. God, I'm not like you. I want to be like you. But I'm not like you. If you sat here this morning, you've heard somewhat of the message. If something has been revealed, somewhat of the glory of the Son, and the price was paid, I want to ask you to respond this morning. Respond to him. I wonder if we could close our eyes. So I was considering just this morning what God wanted to do, and I was just reminded, you know, that there's actually only one of two responses. That either our eyes have been opened or are being opened or we have lost sight of. So as I've been sharing this morning, if this, as Luke mentioned from the start, as he is lifted up, which was actually speaking about the death that he would have, that as they nailed him to the cross and they lifted him up, that there would be a drawing unto himself. And I think for most of us in this room, there's been a drawing to the point where we've recognized, we've received, we've repented, and we are now living for him. But I never want to miss the opportunity that there may be some amongst us that, as I've been sharing, there's something of the glory of the Son that's been revealed to you. And you'll know, because it'll feel like, just as I mentioned with us, that there's somewhat of the working of the Holy Spirit. That as I've been sharing, he's been unpacking even just the things of your heart. He's been, there'll be even wrestles in your mind. But he says to you this morning that I want to reveal myself to you. That I am the one true God. And that I want to reveal myself to you this morning. And it says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you know, this says that the God of this age, the devil, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Jesus, who is the image of God. Maybe you've sat here, maybe you've been in and out of church for years, maybe this is your first time and you don't feel like you know what you're doing here. And that's okay. There's something of the glory of God and he wants to shine on you this morning. He wants to open your eyes to. You know, one of the challenges of our fall, one of the cripples of our falling was that actually we desired knowledge. We desired to know before we believe. There's understanding before believe. And the issue with this is that actually it's by grace through faith. There's an absence of faith when we try and understand. But it's desire, the Father's desire is that everyone who looks to the Son, everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him will inherit eternal life. If you're here this morning, something of the glory of the one and only Son has been revealed to you and you've never heard it like this before. And you feel like God's just tapping you on the heart, and he's asking of you, just accept me. My desire is that I want to show you more of who I am. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to today, won't you just raise your hand? Love to pray with you. Love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Scripture often refers to, you know, the wages of sin is death. But he comes and he extends the free gift of eternal life. And it's this morning, is why would we pay a wage when we could accept a free gift? And he wants to give that this morning. And so if you have not yet responded to his grace, and you want to say, Jesus, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior, why don't you just raise your hand? This is not to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand. I just want you to raise your hand. Even any of the kids. Lovely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. If there is anyone, and actually just in the moment might be too big, and you want to go and chat to one of the guys, either Luke, myself, or Dan, or one of the other leaders. You want to chat through what that looks like. And can I ask that you do that you be brave, that you take the moment, and that you come and speak to one of us. And then the second call is for the rest of us. Maybe this morning, as I've been sharing, you've realized that maybe you've lost sight, something of the glory of God you've missed. And it's like it's being refreshed to you again just through today and what it resembles. I even see it's like a picture of the laying down of the cross where Jesus says, you know, come. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. And actually, for us, for some here, the cross might even become like a, you know, something that we have on the front of our Bible or that we hang around our neck. It's a thing of comfort. And actually, to Roman persecuted Jerusalem, it meant a totally different thing. That when Jesus said, pick up your cross, deny yourself, follow me, it actually means to truly die. And you've realized that as I've been sharing, there's something of you that might be still alive. And what I saw when I was praying was, you know, at the cross, once Jesus was crucified, I said that the Roman soldiers were actually sitting there. And they had his garments. And they were busy actually gambling. They were casting lots for garments. And as I was praying, I just felt the Lord just impress on my heart that there may be some here that are actually gambling with the garments of Jesus. And there's somewhat of that picking or taking to one side the things that the attributes that we like about Jesus. Or maybe it's even delving in our own sin. And the Lord is calling us to come back, to not lose sight of and to respond to the glory of his one and only Son. If that's you this morning and you recognize there's just some aspect of my life that maybe I haven't fully grasped this, and I've seen something of the Father's love, and I've heard the message of what the Son has done for me this morning, why don't you just raise your hand? I'd love to have some guys just gather around you and pray. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. I feel like there should be more. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. It's beautiful. I think where those hands are raised, maybe you can just take note of the people next to you and pray for them. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to call Luke up in a moment, and I don't know if there's anything else he feels to add, but I want to leave us with this, is that the powerful truth behind us becoming sons of God is that the Son of God needed to become man. The Son of God needed to become man. And for us to actually not recognize this once a year, but to live from a place of recognizing that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. That the way is found through him, that the truth is in him, it's who he is, and needs to become manifest amongst us. And the only reason that we are able to taste something of the life is because it's found in him. Can we live from that place? Awesome. For those guys being prayed for the rest of us, I wonder if we could stand.